especially the one where I spoke about being positioned by God and not trying to position yourself. In other words, seeking your own position normally causes discomfort and confusion. When God positions you, there's peace and courage there. There's a knowledge that God has placed me in a position. And so I wanted to take time this last day of the year, 2017, and speak to you on a message that I believe the Spirit of the Lord dropped into my heart as I was driving down the road. And I'd been in prayer and just dropped this message into my heart entitled, Three Steps to Go Forward. Three Steps to Go Forward. And there's a lot of scripture in the Bible to grab a hold of an area that will help us understand. If you read the Bible, and I really pray that everyone again will read the Bible through this whole year again and understand what is speaking to your heart. But I felt the Lord lead me, and I know I'm using that a lot right now, about the Lord speaking into my heart and leading me, because it's very important you grasp a hold of this by means of understanding that I just don't want to spend a half hour, 45 minutes, or an hour speaking a message that I could grab from years of preaching to end out a year, to make it kind of a lazy ending. I'm not that person. I really wanted to speak something that would touch your heart, that would give you a hope for 2018. And I'm also not that type of preacher that tries to pull a 2018 quip, you know, a statement, you know, a rhyme, you know. I'm not that person. I just believe in listening to the voice of God. And so I really felt led to speak from a very familiar area of the Old Testament about a very familiar individual in the Old Testament, who was Moses. So in Exodus 14, verses 15 through 18, and many of you probably already know the story there when you heard Exodus 14, the crossing of the Red Sea. I'm going to start reading in verse 15, and I'll be going through other scripture throughout this message this morning. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me? Speak to the children of Israel so that they go forward. And as for you, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Then the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. As for me, surely I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall follow them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh, through all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." You know, there's so much sermon material there, so much truth that can be applied to us on December 31st, 2017. That can be applied to us every day of the year, if we'll allow it to. You see, the law of the Christian church is not to retreat, is not to always look over our shoulder. As a matter of fact, it's not really good or graceful or wise of us to continually draw from history. Because God's got a destiny for the church and individually for each of you, that he wants you to look ahead to the promise, ahead to your destiny. He wants you to understand that he's walking along your side. He's there with you at all times. He never leaves us. He never leaves you. He never forsakes us. He never forsakes you. The Bible is very clear that Jesus is the anchor of our soul. Very clear that Jesus entered in beyond the veil when the death on the cross happened, and he said, "It is finished. Unto you I commend my spirit." That the veil was rent from the top all the way to the bottom. So there was this entranceway for you and I in the New Testament to have the ability to enter into the throne room of grace, whereby we can gain or receive grace and help in our time of need. It's there for us. We can be in your car and you can reach Jesus. You could be sitting in your living room in your prayer time and you can reach Jesus. You can be in a prayer meeting and corporately and everyone can reach Jesus. I remember one time we were in a prayer meeting in the early days of our church in Santa Cruz back in 1977. We were meeting at the Grange Hall in Soquel, California, and there's about 60 of us. My father-in-law, Pastor Louis Pagan, was pastoring, and he called everybody up front and to pray. Well, we're Pentecost folks, so he said, "Let's pray." Boy, and everybody started praying. They were praying in their own language. They were praying in the language of the Lord, in tongues. Everybody was just praying, and it was just a powerful presence of God. And this guy yells out, "Stop! Stop it!" Well, I looked at my father-in-law because he wasn't the guy you wanted to mess with. He was, you know, he grew up in the streets of New York, and I didn't know how he was going to react to that. You know, he was a very kind man, but he was also a very responding man. And he looked at him. He said, "What's going on here?" In his Puerto Rican accent, which I cannot do. "What's going on here?" And he said, "Everybody's screaming. Everybody's praying, and there's so much noise. How will God ever understand us?" And he said, "God can understand you when you pray, singularly or corporately. Let's begin to pray again." My father was so gifted, there was two ladies there that I think were a little bit offended. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Listen to me. And they began to walk out the door. My father-in-law, Pastor Louis Pagan, was so gifted. They were at the back door of the Grange Hall, and he said, "Ma'am, miss, would you stop for a minute?" And they turned, and they said, "Why are you leaving church?" He said, "Oh, we have to get somewhere." And they said, "No, you're leaving." And he read them exactly what was going on in their life. And they stood there and began to cry, and they came back into the church to worship. You see, I'm saying all this to say is that God wants the church to advance. He doesn't want the church to be in debate. He doesn't want the church to look in the past over their shoulder. If we look over our shoulder, we should hope to see goodness and mercy, which will follow us all the days of our life. Now, I've related just five different scriptures so far, and I just want you to pay attention to the fact that we need to advance. Fear and faith cannot dwell in our heart at the same time. You're either going to be full of faith or you're going to be full of fear. One of those are going to capture you. I have chosen in my life to be full of faith. When fear tries to attack, I bring up the shield of faith, and it quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. I put on the helmet of salvation because I want the knowledge of who the high priest and the apostle is of my high calling. I want to listen to what God says. I want to know that I've girded my waist with truth. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I've shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want to know that I've picked up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and out of my mouth this day shall come forth his word. I want to know that I have faith and I can attend to what God has asked me to do and asked this church to do. I want to be part of what God is doing, in other words. I don't want to be on the sidelines of fear. I want to be in the field of faith. I want to be marching forward. I want to be advancing in God's kingdom and His promise. I want to see God move. I want to see miracles. I want to see people saved. I want to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to see people find joy and get away from mourning. I want to see people happy, smiling, thankful that they are breathing the air that they breathe instead of breathing the air that they breathe in a sorrowful condition. We are people of God, the children of God. We are the family of God. We've been adopted into the kingdom of God by the spirit of adoption, not by the spirit of fear, whereby now we can cry out, Abba, Father. And we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And each day we get up, every day the Holy Spirit says to our heart, you are a child of God. We have this witness in us every day that who we are. We have an identity. Oh, we try to make our identity look really good, you know. And we shave and if you grow a beard. And we have all this, you know, nice hairdos and all the other stuff. And you want to look really good. That's great. That's what men and women do. But it's our spirit. Our spirit needs to look good. Our attitude needs to look good. Our approach to life needs to look good. We need to look good in the inside as well as we want to look good on the outside. Matter of fact, even better on the inside, because God has created us. So if we trust God, we need not to be afraid. God never brings His church or people into positions from which retreat is necessary. In other words, in which advance is impossible. He always brings us to a place of God, of goodness and grace. There is no instance in all of the history, and I studied this out, of the Old or New Testament church in which, while God's guidance was followed, retreat had to be made. Everyone always went forward. In Christian attainments throughout the whole Bible, in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, it was not Christianity, it was the law. In their attainments to follow God, they always moved forward. They didn't retreat. Now, I want you to take a moment here and just kind of follow with me as I'm going to start to preach in a moment. But you have to understand that they came to a place where it was impossible for them to cross. It was the Red Sea. Now, I don't care what Hollywood has made, the movies that they've made about the Red Sea, and with Christian Bale and all them, they were going to cross the Red Sea, but it was like these little puddles. You know, I mean, the Red Sea was the Red Sea. It was moving. It was breathing. It was happening. And there was no crossing with 2.5 million people. On either side, there were cliffs, mountains, where it was impossible for them to climb up. And if they went backwards, which they began to cry out to Moses to do, they were going to face the enemy that had bound them, whipped them, starved them, killed them for 400 years. In other words, the only way they could go was forward. Now, we can spiritualize this, and we can say today that the church has changed. We've come to a place where we are unsure what our forward looks like. We've got a sea of confusion in front of us, a sea of doubt, a sea that blends in fear. Instead of living out that He has given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind, we're living out in all this shite before us. And on either side, we have a government that we just don't know what to do with. And on this side, we've got a church that's become very liberal and uncertain on what their beliefs are. I'm old school, and I'm very proud of it. And I think Pastor said it this morning, Celestino said it, from the lifestyle that I've come from, I don't want to mess with the stuff that I see some people messing with today going to church. Because I know the results of it. And I certainly want you to understand that Pharaoh and his army represents the demonic power that chases us down and tries to cripple us as we move forward in the kingdom of God. So think about that. Liberalism is invoking its pressures upon the church. The government that we have here in the United States is splitting our hairs in the church. We're concerned. Everyone's concerned. On both parties and those that don't give a rip, they're still concerned. We got a sea of confusion before us because we're unsure what we're supposed to look like as these two things seem to guard our thoughts. Are you with me? And then behind us, we have these voices, we have this chasing, we have this demonic power trying to tackle us and say to us, you know, you'll never make it. The government's not going to help you. And this liberalism is going to tear you down. Let me tell you something. If you try to go forward in all this confusion, you're not going to be able to swim through it because it's thick. We come to a place where we have to trust God. We have to believe God for every promise that we're coming into in this year. We have to believe God that there's a destiny. You know what? And I have a destiny. Your pastor has a destiny. My wife has a destiny. Each and every one of you, by the sound of my voice, or are watching this live stream right now, has a destiny that God has placed you on this earth. You have a purpose. Your purpose is not to fail. Your purpose is not to be crushed by all this stuff that I've been talking about. This stuff is real. I don't mean to lighten it by just saying stuff. It's very real. We're living in a state of California that is so liberal, it's incredibly difficult at times to fully understand what we're supposed to look like in a time like this. But I'll tell you what we're supposed to look like and what we should look like, and I hope you attain this by the speaking this morning, is that we are supposed to look like representations of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to live the Word of God. We are supposed to take our stance and say, no, this is what the Bible teaches, and we love everybody. We love God, but the Bible declares this, and we're moving forward by the power and the anointing and the calling of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In holy living, God has never had us to retreat from that. Even though I've witnessed it with people. I've seen pastors put on Facebook holding up beers that they're about to drink, letting everybody know they're about to drink. Other pastors on Facebook are using foul language. And I'm ashamed to say it. I've seen it on Facebook. I almost left Facebook the other day by all the stuff that I saw. One thing after another, negative, 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 instead of a positive inflow of saying, you know what? Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I should get an amen there. I really should, because that's important to understand that. Amen. I know I'm stunning you by my fine preaching this morning, but I want you to understand that there is a world out there that needs to hear our amen. They need to hear our voice. They need to understand that there is a God that we serve who is alive and powerful, and soon, and very soon, I believe, He's going to call us home. In labors for the advancement of Christ's kingdoms, we have to understand that we have to be busy being a Christian. I don't know how many messages I've preached for years about people who warm pews. Pews are not meant to be warm, neither are the new chairs, the cushion chairs we get in churches all across America now. They don't need to be warmed. They're inanimate, which means they have no life. They don't care if they're cold. They don't care if they're warm. They don't care if they're lukewarm. Jesus said He would rather have us be one or the other, cold or hot. instead of being lukewarm. Because if we are lukewarm, he would spew us out of his mouth. And if you study the Greek, the word spew means that he would vomit us out of his mouth. In the book of Revelations, he says that. I want to pray, and I want to believe that the body of Christ in America, which I've been praying for since the day I've been saved, God called me to pray, and that's the men of fourth point of my ministry is prayer, is to pray that there will be revival across the land. I'm not looking for revival that we had 30, 40 years ago. I'm looking for a new revival that God is going to bring, a spiritual awakening where people are going to come alive in Jesus Christ and know who they are and their identity and what their destiny is and stand up and say, we are believers, children of God, and we are moving forward to advance the kingdom. He's never told us to retreat from missionary enterprise. In other words, he's never said to the church, no more missionaries. It has been said over and over again that America was one of the greatest missionary sending nations in the world. But today, at this day as I stand, America is one of the greatest nations that need missionaries coming to this country. Believe me, I've gone out in the mission field. I've seen what it's like. It changed my whole view of ministry to go to Romania and spend 2 weeks over there and speaking in their churches to see the hunger that they had. 300 people showing up to get into a church that only 660. Standing outside, and when the altar calls were made, hands came up, 60 people get saved. Going from one church to the other and seeing them building churches from nothing, from the ground to the cathedrals, and only making $30 a month was their wage, and bread was a dollar a loaf. Faith! I wept on top of a cathedral in Timișoara, Romania. I wept and I cried out to God. I repented. I said, Father, forgive me. I've been told my whole ministry I'm a great man of faith, but today I feel like I have no faith when I compare what these people are doing to bring the kingdom of God together in Romania. I could tell you story after story, but also, God never had us retreat from doing good to our fellow men. We need to do good. We need to help people. We need to bless people. My foundation this year went ahead and took care of 4 families that are in crisis in Napa and Sonoma. I contacted the pastor up at Stony Point Community Fellowship up there, and I sent him a check. And I went up to see him the other day because I took up 58 turkeys so he could give to a mission up there. And he handed me a card. And I wept in the front seat of my car. I wept. I said, dear gift giver, she has no idea who I am or what the foundation's name is or anything, because I told him I don't want that. I speak it to you because you're my family, and most of the people who watch the live stream are close to me and family. I wept. She said, my life has changed. For what you gave, I was able to give my daughter and my adopted daughter a Christmas. I'm a single mother and have nothing to give them. But now, on Christmas Day, they will have a beautiful Christmas. Doing good. Reaching out. God never has stopped that for us. You see, God fights for us. No matter how undertrained or ill-equipped or poorly organized or outclassed we may be, he eliminates our foes. He eliminates them before us. He says, get out of the way. I love David coming down to Goliath. That little old teenage boy and that big old giant man.
He said, you can say all you want about me. You call me a dog, I'll bark if you want me to. That isn't in the Bible, but that's probably what he thought in his mind. But you can say all you want to me. But who you are offending is the God of Israel, the God that I serve. And the next thing he knew, Goliath, he was dead on the ground. You see, David was ill-equipped. He was untrained. He didn't have anybody to have faith. Faith to do what he needed to do. You see, God is the dispeller of fear, a comforter of those who are afraid. God is the deliverer from distress. God invites and expects his people to trust him, to stand firm. You need only to be still, he said. Just get out of my way, God's saying. Be still, stand firm, and know that I am God. Is anyone hearing me today? Is anybody grabbing a hold that God wants us to understand that God removes danger from our life? I'm telling you with all my heart that I almost died 3 times because of drugs. And God brought me back to life because I was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God helps us. He's a warrior against the forces of evil. Let me tell you what he was telling the Israelites when he said this in his statement. Tell the Israelites to move on. God was asking them for a breaking of the camp. You know, God says that to our life. We need to break our camp sometimes. We get too warm around the campfire. Our tents look just right. We got everything right. He wants us to break the camp. He wants to make our camp larger. He wants to do something with our lives, and he wants us to break the camp. He wants to round up all those things that we care so much about, the animals and the cats and everything else. You know, we put all this attention in. We put more attention into that than we do the Word. Get it all together, God is saying. You know, pack up your belongings. In other words, take what you know is good. Leave what you know is going to cause you pain. Are you with me on that? He's saying, in an orderly departure, do it in ranks. In other words, don't everybody run in confusion. Don't everything in confusion. What God is saying to the church today is go ahead, break up the camp. Stop worrying about the small things that are around you that are meaningful to you but are not meaningful to the kingdom. Look at your belongings. What's too heavy for you? What you're carrying? Put down those burdens, in other words, and start to listen to what I have to say. And then he says, start moving forward by rank, not by confusion. Understand who you are in my kingdom. Understand what I've decided you to become in my kingdom. Understand that I have got your back. And your forward is what I have declared belongs to you. And he said, you know, it's going to take many hours to do this. As a matter of fact, it's going to take you all day, what God was saying. It's going to take you into the night to take care of this. But if you get out of this encampment, if you get out of this fear, if you get out of this confusion, if you get back to what you know is true, what you truly know is the belief, what you know you've been taught through my word, if you understand that, then you can cross this confusion and it won't touch you that's in front of you. Well, let me tell you 3 things. Number one, God is saying to them, be courageous. Not fearful. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind, or a disciplined mind. Be courageous. Have courage when you move forward. You know, it's not what you see by your eyes, it's what you know by your eyes of faith. Be courageous. Fear is detrimental to us. It'll explode you. It'll destroy you. It'll cause you not to be able to do what God has called you to do. Fear says stop. Faith says go. And a voice in the future of that go, who's down the road a bit, is God saying, come on. Come on down darkness road, because my light and my lamp is a light to your feet and a light to your path. Come on down the road. You have put my word in your heart. You are sinning against me. You got it together. Come on down the road. God's cheering us on. Secondly, have faith. Know that what God has called you to do is going to take faith. You know, I thought about this. I look at my church. You know, I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, would it be really cool if we build a church to 300. It looks impossible here in San Pablo. It does. Build a church to 300. Wow. The devil would be so angry, and I'd be so glad. You see, having faith where it doesn't look possible, having faith to believe for God's hand to make it happen. Who's the builder of the church? Jesus. We're the laborers that are supposed to be drawing in the harvest. God the Father has designed everything, and He has empowered us with the Holy Spirit to be able to go at war against that which tries to stop us. Our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds, to the wicked hosts in high places, to the evil spirits that come before us. We have the power. It indwells within us. You know, when I was in Santa Cruz several times, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was sharing to him about the demonic powers that are in Santa Cruz, which are intense, by the way. But I shared to him several times that I'd be walking down the street, and across the street, somebody that doesn't even know me would be walking down the street and would turn to me and say, "Get out of my town. Get out of my town." Other times they would sit there and stare at me, and I'd look back at them and I'd say, "What's going on?" They say, "We don't want you here. Get out." You see, the force of evil is very real. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to make any light of the matter. And I'm not trying to design some sort of a future Hollywood movie. I'm trying to tell you that the powers of the enemy are as real as they can ever be. And especially in the hour that we live in. Because God is going to do something very soon that's going to be explosive across America. Explosive. Explosive in the San Francisco Bay Area. Explosive in California. Explosive across this nation and throughout this world. God is going to do something, and the enemy wants to stop it. Greater is He that is in you and I than he that is in the world. Amen. By speaking the word, you put the enemy at bay. Well, I don't know if this is really true. You know, when Jesus fasted 40 days and came out of the desert, the first person He met was not the crowd going, "Hey, great job, you finished your fast, huh? Woo, all right. Yeah, I only made it 20 days. I don't know how you did it, Jesus. Oh man, I only made it 3. What a great job. Way to go, Jesus. Yes." You know, there wasn't, his mom wasn't there saying, "Oh honey, let me feed you real quick. You're looking awful skinny now. Come on over here and let's get some rice and gandules and some other things right now. Let's get some food in you. Come on, let's build this thing up." Nothing. The devil met him and tried to destroy him. You see, when you think you don't have what it takes, you're weak in the flesh, maybe because of your fasting. You're weak in your faith because you haven't been praying and studying. The devil's going to come after you and try to destroy you. What you need to do is stand up, speak up, and let him know that you have faith and you're moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. And then the last thing is not only be courageous and not only be full of faith, but go forward. Go forward. And sometimes it may take you to be positioned properly to go forward. positioned by God. You know, Esther, in Esther 4, 9 through 17, and I'm just going to not read it through for time's sake. I just want to say that, you know, Mordecai was saying to Esther, you need to go speak to the king. You got what it takes to speak to the king. You're a queen. You need to go there now. You need to save the Jews. And Esther kept on saying back, I can't just show up at the king's door. I can't just walk into where the king is, because it is written, if you go to the king uninvited, you are to die. And Mordecai tried again. She said, please. Mordecai finally said, you know, maybe this is your time. You've been born just for such a time as this, that you help us. And so what she did is she sent back a word to Mordecai. And then what she did in chapter 5, just the beginning of it, verses 1 through 3. She dressed up real nice. She was beautiful. Very beautiful queen. Caught Mordecai's eye out of all the women that he could choose from. Esther stood out. And she positioned herself. Now hear me, please. This is very spiritual. I want you to grab this. I mean, I felt this message. I could go on for a long time, but I know that I just need to, I want us to pray together today. But she went and positioned herself. There was the throne, and here was the door. And she found a seat that when he looked up, he'd see her way out in the foyer. Outside. Now listen, she had already told Mordecai, I haven't been able to see him for 30 days. I thought, what kind of a marriage is that? But anyhow, not for 30 days I've not been able to see him. He's not called me to come to sit with him in his court. 30 days I've not been at home with him. 30 days. And you expect me now to show up? But she did it. She positioned herself just right. So when the king looked up, please take hold of this. Get yourself ready for Jesus when he looks up. He put his gold scepter towards her. Because when the king put his gold scepter towards a person, that means that they could come into his presence. My God, Jesus did the gold scepter at the cross. We have the blood of Jesus. We can walk into the throne of grace anytime we want. But let me tell you, she positioned herself. And he invited her in, and the queen went in and told them the story about how her people were going to be killed by somebody in that particular kingdom's realm who was in an office position. She got to be able to be brought in before the king. You understand this? That you may feel at a distance, Jesus doesn't really want me to do anything, or Jesus really, or I'm just comfortable, whatever. But get yourself to a place in prayer to where when you pray, you know that you have an audience with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And don't get up from that prayer till you're released from that prayer. And let God pull you into your destiny. Pull you to a place to recognize who you are in his kingdom and to be part of that, what God has for you to do. Here's my closing thought for you right now. Here it is. Now pay attention to this. If I've ever said anything this morning at all, what I'm about to say, I have prayed to God that would grip you and understand this message. Jesus had a destiny. His mother and his brothers, they tried to stop him.
They tried to get him home. They thought he was a little weary and wasn't thinking straight. He said, "Hey, my mother and my father, my brothers, my sisters, they're the ones who do the will of my father. That's who my family is." And hear this. What if Jesus listened to Peter? What if Jesus listened to Peter? In Matthew 16 and 23, what if? This is what he didn't listen to. He didn't listen to the devil. See, the devil will try to stop you from becoming who you are. One soldier at a time, he tries to take him out. What if Jesus would have said, "You know what? You're right, Peter. I'm not going to Jerusalem. You're absolutely right. Let's get out of this area right now. Let's go hang out now. Let's go back to Bethlehem. Let's just hang out. We're not going anywhere. Let's stop." This is what he said. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You're an offense. You are an offense. You are something that is offending me." I tell you, some folks, by the sound of my voice, need to tell the devil, "Get back. You're offending me. You don't have the power over me. You don't have an anointing over me. You don't have my destiny in your hands. My destiny is set by and it's in the hands of the Father. And I'm courageous. I have faith and I'm moving forward in it. Get out of my way." I've done that all by myself in prayer. When I've been praying and the enemy starts coming at me, I've stood up and said, "Get out of here." I've called him a little stinky thing, a slew foot, bad breath, ugly monster. Get out of my house. Get out of my prayer life. Get out of my way. I've gone to bed at night being attacked by the enemy, and I just prayed and put the Bible on my heart. Just sat there and prayed, and I felt the enemy leave and stop trying to attack me. Some of you may not get this, and I hope that you do. But let me tell you something right now. He said, "For you are not mindful of the things that are of God, but those that are of men." Our minds need to be centered on the things of God, not the things of men. What if Jesus would have listened to Peter? What if Moses would have said to God, who was not rebuking him, he was just giving him an admonition to do something. He wasn't angry with him. He just told him, "Now you need to get out there and lift that staff up. Lift up Jesus and watch what I do. Things will change all around you. Things will change that is chasing after you. And what is set before you, you are going to be able to go through, because it may look impossible to you, but nothing is too hard for the Lord." Amen. What if Moses said, "You know what? I'm not doing this. You better find somebody. Man, call Aaron over here to do this, because I am not doing this one." No, he didn't. He got up and did what God said to do. What if Esther would have said to Mordecai, "I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this at all." What if Ruth would have said to Naomi, "You know, you're right. I'm going back to my home country. I'll keep my God. You keep your God. Let's communicate through family members somehow." No. What if Abraham would have said, "You know, I'm really happy. I'm rich. I'm happy where I'm at right now. I got all that I need. I don't need any more." No. What if Paul would have said to Jesus on the road, "You know what? If I could get a hold of you, I'd kill you right now." You see, know your enemy. Know how to fight your enemy. But take the three steps to go forward. Would you pray with me?